And we turn to Matthew 11 and at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There was an occasion in the life of Jesus recorded in John chapter 7, when the Lord Jesus very urgently called out to men and women, and called out to them to be saved, and to be saved immediately. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It was a day when everybody was going about their feasting, a day when everybody was at the solemn assemblies. And Jesus cried out loud above all the noise and the kerfuffle to reach those who would listen. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Not all came, but some did. And just the same here at this point in his ministry, the Lord is urgently calling out to those who were listening to his teaching, come unto me, come unto me. When I first was converted, I very much went off religious instruction at school. I got to the stage where I didn't have to do it, but I was all against that, and I was all against scripture exams and things like that. Whether rightly or wrongly, I have no idea. But it seems to me that when the Lord said, come, that was not religious instruction. It was not formal understanding of doctrine. Come. When the Lord says, come, why don't our hearts ring with gladness? Why don't our souls run towards him? Why doesn't our life light up? For Jesus, the Saviour, the second person of the Trinity, come, he says. It's more than an invitation, really. It's an arms out expression to enfold and to welcome you. But when Jesus preached, they didn't come, not very many. And all down the years, not many have come. And that should teach us a vital lesson, that it is so important to respond to the gospel the moment we hear it. In the passage that we read, there were the picture of the children sitting in the market, and they were playing their games, you see. But I remember as a boy, they were saying, we piped unto you and you've not danced, we've mourned unto you and you have not lamented. I remember at primary school, well, some of us wanted to play football, and I said, no. Some of us wanted to slide because it was a frosty mornings. We had many of them, and some said, no. There was no agreement about what should be done. There was just argument all the way through. And Jesus said that in response to my call, that's exactly what you're like. You all want to do different things, but what I call you to do. And the Lord loves obedience more than sacrifice. And then he spoke of those cities of his own time that had had miracles done. And he makes this remarkable statement that only he could make, that those places, Chorazin and Bethsaida, because of what they'd heard, would be more condemned than Tyre and Sidon. Still more remarkably, because of what we know about Sodom, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained till this day. Only he could know that. But what he's saying is that these cities where he's preaching the gospel, where he's healing, turned away. And a place like Sodom, if it had heard him preach these things, and Tyre and Sidon, if it had heard him preached, would have returned. He says so, it's on his authority. So you can see the urgency of the Lord Jesus. If we despise his call, never mind the siren voices of sin, never mind our hobbies, never mind our interests, but if we despise his call, and give precedence to any other thing, we're in more danger than Sodom. We're in more danger than Tyre and Sidon. And this was the background to what the Lord was saying. So hard are the hearts of men, so unwilling to turn instantly to respond to that love. And so Jesus says, oh, I rejoice and give thanks to you, my Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise, but have revealed them unto babes. Trouble is, most of us want to think that we are wise. Come unto me. Another thing that used to happen to us when I was in primary school is at the end of break, it's called playtime, but at the end of break, a bell was rung, and you all had to stand dead still where you were, whatever you were doing, and then be called in. And of course, there was always one or two who just didn't stand still. There were one or two who still shouted out. There were one or two who still carried on doing what they were doing. And they were in real trouble. They would be singled out for real trouble. When that call came to stop and to come in, that had to be obeyed straight away. It wasn't something you could mess about with. It's not something you could preach yourself about. And so it's something of that sense is given in this whole chapter and summarized in these words of Jesus, his urgent words, come, come, come unto me. It's a wonderful word for the Savior to say. He, of course, knew who he was, that he was the Son of God, that he was with his Father and the Holy Spirit, the creator of the world, that he sustained the world, and that he called sinners to himself as part of his earthly ministry. And he could truly say, come unto me. The Bible teaches there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Go to anybody else, and you will not find life. Go to anybody else, you will not find peace. Go to anything else, and you will not find love. Come unto me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Not tomorrow. You may come tomorrow if you come today, because you can come again. But if you don't come today, you might not get received tomorrow because you've been disobedient. Come unto me, says the Lord Jesus. And he has a particular set of people in mind. And he praises the Father that these things were hid from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. And it is the reaction of babes who will feel that they are laboring and heavy laden. The wise will tend to think they've got where they have by their own power and strength and intellect and understanding. But all those of you, he says, who labor and are heavy laden, Now, we are commanded, of course, to work. And some work is more difficult than others. Some work is unrewarding. Some work you never see any result of it. Some work is very tough physically. But the Lord says he knows that everybody in their hearts labour and are heavy laden. But he doesn't just mean that. Perhaps the first way into hearing his words is to feel exhausted, is to feel tired. And because you feel exhausted and tired and things are not fair and you're not getting your money and all these sort of things, you may be more inclined to turn to him. But he actually here is talking about the weariness of soul, the heavy laden nature of the soul, the labouring of the soul. Deep within each one of us, there is our soul. It is the central determining part of our being. At death, our soul is separated from our bodies, unless we're alive when the Lord returns. And it is that separation that is what death means. Our souls, if they are laboring, are in a much more serious state than the labor that we do day by day. If our souls are heavy laden, then the heaviness is infinitely worse than anything that we can feel because work is hard. If work is hard, well, we can reconcile ourselves to that. It's the nature of the work we've chosen, or the nature of going down the pits that was forced upon us, or whatever it was. That's hard. But if our soul has wilted and said, it's not fair, I don't want to do this job, I should never have been put into this job, and everything is going wrong. Once the soul deep within us begins to feel weak and heavy laden, then we are in real trouble. And while it may be that when the Lord says, come ye that labour and are heavy laden, it may be that those who, having difficulty with their work, prick up their ears. And that is fine, but the idea is to enter into the soul so that he may speak to those who are labouring in their souls and who are heavy laden in their souls. One heavy burden in the soul is one of which Paul makes mention, about those who spent their lifetime in bondage through fear of death. This is the sort of thing that is meant by being heavily laden. Where am I going at the end? And when you come near the end and you still don't know, that's heavy laden. When you're afraid of dying, and it undermines all of your life most of the time. It's there always and you can't get rid of it. That's heavy laden. And there are so many other ways in which our hearts can be heavy laden. We've done something and we cannot get rid of the thought that we did it. The heart is heavy laden. And it's to you that the Lord Jesus is reaching out, to you in particular. Only you will know the plague of your own heart. But the Lord willingly reaches out to those whose hearts are heavy laden. Sometimes we are heavy laden in our souls. We'd love to share it, but we think to ourselves, you wouldn't understand. We might not. Tend not to share that weariness which is the worst of all, that heart weariness, our deepest fears. We tend not to share them. We bear them alone. There are millions of people in this world today bearing things alone deep within them that hurt and trouble them. And yet, they could come to the Lord Jesus. they could respond to him. They could respond to him now, immediately, and the burden would be lifted. Come unto me, says the Lord, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I suppose I've not really done any physical work in my life very much. Most of my things have been intellectual. But in the olden days, when men used to come home from working in the fields for 14, 15 hours, they would just lie down on the settee or the couch or whatever, needing to get over it. And even with the work that I did, such as it was, when I was young and had a young family, when they're young, they come straight to you, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And I'd always say, give me 5 minutes. Because we get weary, you see. And it is true that when we are weary and heavy laden, we want to have a rest. But Jesus goes on to tell us in the next verse, he's not majoring on that. He's majoring on rest unto our souls. Rest unto our souls. When that thing which we did in the past and we can't get it out of our minds and we can never put right is burdening us, then the Lord says, but I will pardon that. I do pardon that. I've borne the price of that in my body by my blood upon the Calvary. My perfections will be imparted to you. And then peace in the soul can do. And all the other ways that I've mentioned. It is the soul that needs rest. If the soul is at peace with God, and then all the other things will come together right. Not necessarily easily, not necessarily without pain because we're mortal, but we'll know that all things work together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose. And that gives rest unto the soul. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There must have been those who, hearing Jesus preach, thought, that's me. That's me. Seeing that the Lord Jesus has come, I will come to him. I don't think here he may come and be my disciple and leave home and walk around with him in those days. Just that ability to know him, to believe in him, to know that what his ministry is for the salvation of sinners. Come unto him. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He was a carpenter, and doubtless he liked to make good yokes. His trademark would probably be, I don't know if they wrote names in, scribe names in when you made a yoke of her. But he would have been the yoke maker par excellence. He would have made comfortable yokes. He would have made yokes that were right. Now, a yoke joined two beasts together while they were ploughing or doing anything in the field. If there were different sorts of animals with different sorts of reactions, or if they were the same sort of animals but of different size and weight, the thing would pull and it would hurt like that. And if on the second day, where there was already a sore, a yoke placed there would affect their pulling and affect their temperament. So Jesus says, but my yoke is not like that. If you follow me, it's not a lot of do this, do that, or else. If you come to me, I will draw you to myself, and I will comfort your heart, and I will direct your life. And all these things will be easy, not hard. Easy. It's so hard when everything pulls one way and then pulls the other. It makes the soul sore. It makes the whole being sore. And Jesus says, I'm not like that. The nature of believing in me can lead to death. All the disciples, except John, were martyrs. But that's not the point he's making. We can go through fire and water for the Lord Jesus if our souls are right. Take my yoke upon you. And then he has this remarkable saying, learn of me, or learn from me. Now, what do you see when you see the Lord Jesus in flesh, as they could see him? Do they see a powerful rebel, a man shouting out and being aggressive to all that are around about? No, they don't. But Jesus says, learn of me. I am meek. I am meek and lonely, lowly in heart. You will have the best effect on men and women if you are meek and lowly in heart, because they will respond in measure. But the Lord Jesus says, humanly speaking, as the Son of Man, my great characteristics are lowliness and meekness. I'm lowly in heart towards God. I do only those things which please him. I do not please myself. Paul uses that argument about the reproaches that fell on him. And the Lord Jesus lays on us no more than he is. He is a leader, he is a captain, he leads us in our daily work, but he's meek and he's lowly in heart. He's not always aggressive, he's not aggressive at all towards us. He's not telling us off because our work is bad. He's not doing all those things, but he's welcoming and drawing us. And perhaps by his conversation speaks to us about how our work may improve. But learn, he says, from me. And that is a wonderful invitation. Why not read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, saying, dear Lord, I want to learn of you how to be meek and lowly. Have you ever thought of reading it like that? Just learning that particular one thing. But he says, learn from me. He said, what he wants us to do? Because it will be for our best good. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, is the expression. That's the rest he's really talking about. You will know whether deep down you have that rest. We do get disturbed. We couldn't honestly say probably that we always have peace in our hearts about things. But we shall find rest unto our souls if we follow the Saviour who's meek and lowly in heart. And it's a wonderful discovery. You'll find it. What a wonderful surprise when it comes. I didn't know peace was like this. I didn't know I could have an easy conscience like this. I didn't know my sins could be forgiven like that. I didn't know that for a person such as me, there was any hope at all. Finding rest unto one's soul is a most marvellous, marvellous thing. Take my yoke, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. The Pharisees made even the religion that God had chosen for mankind, the Pharisees made it as hard as it could possibly get. King Rehoboam said, if my father has laid a heavy burden upon you, I will delight to make it even thicker. But that's not what Jesus does. if you lived in the country where there was a violent oppressor, you could survive, but it would be good to know Christ. It'd be good to know it in your heart that you had rest, that the yoke which was easy, the spiritual yoke, was yours. Oftentimes I thank the Lord that I'm, in my life I'm surrounded by love. I don't think as a schoolboy I would appreciate being said that. Being said, schoolboys don't tend to talk very much about that sort of thing, or think. Because I wasn't converted till just a little later. But an easy yoke in this world, a light burden in this world, that the things of our faith that bring us to the Lord and pardon our sins, they're not hard to keep, are they? Love one another might be hard, I suppose, in some cases, but is that a hard burden? Love one another? Is it a hard burden to read the Bible? Is it a hard burden to listen to the preaching? I've often wondered also over the years, it comes from very early on, I think I've told you that when I was converted, I went to the church that was nearest to the school. There were a number of school lads there that I would never have known that they were Christians. They'd been there all my life. And I became fully persuaded that it was better not to come of a Christian home. Because if you came from a Christian home, you'd just take it for granted and it wouldn't mean anything. I don't hold that view now. But for a while I did hold that view. Because I felt that those who came to it new at 15, 16, 17, found it much easier than those for whom they'd had it every day of their life. But you see, for youngsters, it can be a difficult burden. We all as grown-ups may delight to do the things and worship the Lord who is invisible and worship him in the way that we do, but it may be a burden to them. And we don't want to be putting a burden on them that we wouldn't like on ourselves. We love the Lord whose burden is light. We don't want to be making our children's burden heavy, do we? Always remember that the Lord Jesus' burden is light. He makes things as easy as he can for us in a fallen world. And what is easier than coming to him, trusting in him, throwing your all upon him, knowing that all things work together for good to them who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Jesus urgently says, come. He calls those who need him and who recognize instantly that they need him. And he gives them such a warm welcome. And though life may have its burdens and things, it will never be impossible. For what he adds is easy. I finish by saying this. When you read in Isaiah about the burdens of Babylon, and they were saying there was a time when they had to leave the city in a hurry because it was being attacked. So they strapped all the idols to the donkeys. And the scripture expression is, it was a burden to the weary beasts. Our religion is not like that. It doesn't slow us down when there are problems. It helps us through. It's not a burden to bear. It's the Saviour who leads the way, even in the most difficult circumstances. It is an urgent matter to come to him, to yield to him, to be his.